Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Number one team in the NBA has gone fishing. We have a market reset in the NFL. Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. And boy, do we have a lot to get into on the show today. I want to talk local football. I want to talk Major League Baseball. We have to talk some NBA. We have to talk some NFL. One of those days where 1 hour is just not going to be enough. If you missed it last night, the Heat, they send the Milwaukee Bucks packing. And so today, of course, the story is, will Giannis actually bolt from Milwaukee? Will teams put together massive packages to try to lure Milwaukee into a trade this offseason as Giannis is entering the final year of his contract? Like, I don't think this guy is going anywhere. I believe, if anything, last night should be a wake-up call to the Milwaukee Bucks front office to build a championship-contending team around their superstar. And so instead of immediately hitting the reset button and exploring a deal, I believe they go into the offseason with a plan to actually put massive talent around him, more so than just Chris Middleton. And to be honest with you, no, I am not surprised that the Bucks are on their way home. Not surprised one bit. At the beginning of the year, again, I picked Toronto to come out of the Eastern Conference. Well, the Raptors could very easily go packing tonight as well. They'll take on the Boston Celtics. In fact, start time for that game is about 30 minutes away. Boston leads this series 3-2. And if you haven't watched this series, it probably should be over. But that's just the way the Raptors play. It's hard to knock these guys out. It's hard to knock out the defending champions. The Celtics will have an opportunity to set the Eastern Conference Finals. And boy, it'll be just like 2011, 2012 all over again. Heat and Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals if Boston could get a win tonight. We get Game 4 between the Clippers and the Nuggets. That'll be at 7 p.m. And then tomorrow, we'll have just one game in the NBA. That'll be the Lakers and the Rockets. The Lakers take a 2-1 series lead last night as LeBron James was absolutely brilliant. And I can kind of tie this in to Giannis. LeBron James is the best player in the world. Best player in the world. He proved it again last night. What this guy can do on the court, it's maddening. I mean, defensively, when he wants to get it going offensively, he can. He had to do it last night to help propel the Lakers. Got some help from Rajon Rondo, but nonetheless, he was brilliant. LeBron is the best player in the world. That doesn't necessarily make him the MVP. The MVP, you can make the case it is Giannis, because when you look at the talent around Giannis, there's not a lot there. We saw this last night. So LeBron, best player in the world. I think if there was any doubt about that, he showcased last night that he's still in a league of his own when it comes to actual talent out of the court. We'll talk more NBA a little bit later if we get the opportunity. Let's move over to the NFL. I mentioned a market reset. Jalen Ramsey agreed to the largest contract for a cornerback in NFL history today. He and the Los Angeles Rams agree on a 5-year, $105 million contract. 71.2 of that $105 million is guaranteed at the signing. Largest guarantee in league history to a defensive back. The Rams made this announcement earlier today. Now, the previous largest contract for a cornerback in terms of average value, that was Darrell Revis. And we've made a reference to this deal several times on the show because you have to pay attention to the guaranteed money. He signed a 6-year contract after being traded from the Jets to Tampa Bay. And it was something like $90 million. He was making $18.2 million per year, but none of it was guaranteed. He was there one season. He was released after one season. There's no doubt that the Rams were going to pay Ramsey because they gave up 2 first-round picks to get him. However, the Rams have been big spenders. This is the 4th player since 2018 that the Rams have signed to a record-breaking extension. They did it with Aaron Donald when they gave him a six-year, $135 million extension before 2018. They did it with Todd Gurley, whom they cut in March. He was the highest-paid running back in league history. And they did it with Jared Goff, who was the highest-paid quarterback in league history. Ramsey, only 25 years old. To me, it's somewhat of a no-brainer. I believe he's the best defensive back in football. I think you can make the case for Tre'Davious White. But you pair him with Aaron Donald, who is the best defensive player in the NFL. How can you fit pieces around? That's the question. You have your anchor in the secondary. You have your anchor up front. Can the Rams now, with a salary cap, can they put pieces around these superstars? They have Jared Goff locked up. They have their key pieces in place. That's where the NFL gets tricky with the salary cap. So I'm curious to see how the Rams go about doing this. They've been big spenders since they have moved to LA. I tip my hat to it. I just don't know if it's a formula for success. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. Let's take a look at the schedule in Major League Baseball. I want to talk baseball a little bit later on in the show because the New York Yankees are in trouble of potentially not making the playoffs. Can you believe that? This team is 21-21. They've been rocked by injuries. And you have guys like Gary Sanchez who have done next to nothing. Yankees have a very important contest coming up with the Blue Jays at 4:37. Toronto right now, three games better than the Yankees in the AL East. And that's important because the Yankees are not catching the Rays. But only the top two teams in each division are guaranteed a playoff spot. After that, it's the wild card. That's it. So, it is a highly important game for the Yankees. 4:37 tonight, they take on the Blue Jays. We get the Royals and the Indians at 4:10. The White Sox will take on the Pirates at 5:05. We get the Marlins and Braves at 5:10. The Orioles and the Mets at 5:10 as well. You know, Baltimore, they're a half game back of the Yankees. Think about that. Half game back of the Yankees. And on the road, Baltimore is 10-6. Wow, things could go crazy in the AL East if the Orioles were to get a win and the Yankees were to lose tonight. 6:05, we get the Angels and the Rangers. The Rockies will battle the Padres at 6:10. Fun matchup there between those two teams. The Padres are hot. Mike Clevinger has not been. He did get a win last night for the Padres, his first since being dealt by the Indians. But he has struggled. Gave up four earned runs. That was his second outing. The first outing, he gave up three earned runs. I'll tell you who's been great for the Padres, Zach Davies. He's 6-2 with a 2.2 ERA. He'll take the mound tonight for the Padres. The Reds and Cubs will go at it at 6:15. Trevor Bauer versus Yu Darvish. You have to love that pitching matchup. We get the Astros and the A's, a potential AL championship clash between those two squads. The Dodgers will send Clayton Kershaw to the mound tonight to take on the Diamondbacks. And in the nightcap, we get the Mariners and the Giants. One final from earlier today, the Brewers blast through the Tigers 19-0. 21 hits for the Brewers, only two for the Tigers. That's a quick check at what's happening in the national sports front. We're going to break for just a moment. Local sports recap is coming up. We're going to be joined by Coach Phil Howa of the Carbon Dino football team. That's coming up in just a moment. We'll talk Major League Baseball with Bill Lasky, former Major League pitcher, because yes, it is Wednesday. It's baseball day. And if we have time, we're going to continue the over-under predictions for NFL wins-losses. We did three divisions yesterday. We'll pick that back up today. It's a Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports, and we have more coming up when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You watch the games. You follow the team. You wear the colors with pride. And you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
Coming up on Friday, the Carbon Dinos will travel on the road to take on the Union Cougars. Carbon fresh off their first victory of the season, topping Judge Memorial in a game in which they had to recover not once but twice from a deficit. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Coach Phil Howa, who is joining us in the studios. And Coach, it's always a pleasure to get to speak with you. Thank you again for taking the time to stop by.
Well, thanks for having us.
Definitely, Coach. I know it's always more fun to talk about a win. That's what we get to do this week. A victory last week topping Judge Memorial. And Coach, it was a game of runs. And that's, I guess, what we can talk about. The boys had to dig down deep because you were faced with some adversity early. They responded, and you guys pick up a double-digit win.
Yeah, we did. You know, I was really proud of the kids not giving up on themselves. We had a kickoff returned right at the first of the game, and that can demoralize a team and change the tempo of any competition. But, you know what? We got scored on twice right off the bat and came back and matched it up and went ahead, had a good second quarter. My concern is we have slow starts and we need to get going early.
I know that any high school sporting event, there's so much emotion, right? And that's why when you see a team fall down two scores, sometimes that can linger. And before you know it, it's like quicksand, right? You're in over your head. To have a team battle back from a two-score deficit at home, no less, when you really take a look at how important this one is, this win is, Coach, to me, it's more than just a one in the win column. This is something that could translate throughout the entire year. I mean, kids really, they remember. They don't have short-term memories, right?
So not on this stuff.
No, I mean, they don't.
They truly did prove to themselves that they can play the game. You know what? Since I've been here, it's been trying to convince them that they're good enough. I mean, we have great athletes on the field. I said we're young, but they're athletes and they're learning every day. They work really hard, and I really truly believe every week we're better. And that was my goal at the first of the year. I didn't know whether we could win a game or not. And this is a bonus. My biggest bonus on this game was that we actually went down in the second half and came back again, which means we have some resilience, we have some confidence, and we don't quit. And that was one of my goals. I wanted a carbon football team that didn't quit, no matter the circumstance. So,
well, last week you and I talked about an injury to Cooper Shade. You mentioned Davin Moss. And Davin, if I'm not mistaken, averaged about 5 yards per carry, had a couple of touchdowns. And so when you go back and you look at the committee approach that you now will take out of the backfield, I mean, having Davin really, really shine, I'm sure, is a bright spot, especially when you go back and look at video from last week.
Oh, you know what? I knew Davin was a great runner. To step up, like I say, putting on the shoes of Cooper Shade is a big, big thing to follow. But you know what? I felt sorry for Cooper. Cooper was on our sideline. He was supporting his team. His teammates, and you know what? I think he was the biggest fan of Davin Moss because he saw Davin have some success. You know what? It was a good team win. Our kids worked hard. They played well. Another positive, I never saw any finger pointing this week, and that's good.
Yeah, you had mentioned that last week. That was something that you wanted to get rid of.
I don't like people pointing fingers. Accept what you've done. Forgive yourself, and let's get better.
Coach, in this game, Caden Whiteleather runs for a touchdown, has a receiving touchdown as well, and we know what type of an athlete this kid is, but he didn't touch the ball an awful lot, and I'm sure that as we get deeper into the season, opposing teams will start to prepare for Caden. Did you sense that in this game against Judge Memorial?
Well, you know, we lost Josh Andresen, who's mm-hmm. probably our one or two receiver. And Bowden Alderson stepped up and made two, three great receptions and kept our drives moving. And you know what? So I think the difference is that we have kids to step in if kids do get hurt. We have kids to step in if kids do the wrong thing and can't go to a game. So I keep telling the kids they have to go to flex time. They have to go to school because they're not allowed to play if they miss school without excuses. There's so many distractions at the high school level to get them to understand that football should be number one in their life right now. It's hard. So they're just surviving. They really are. Their game is reveling on their life, and it's kind of helter-skelter. And right now we're trying to get that all settled down and get them to believe in themselves and one step at a time, one game at a time. So we're excited. I think Union's a great ball club. I'm not going to take anything from them. They have a decent record right now, and Emory did give them a little bit of a thump, but they're going to come back wanting to make amends, and we're the ones that they're facing. So we're going to have a tough go, but I think we're ready for it. Had a good practice yesterday. That's always good. So.
Again, Coach Phil Howa, the Carmen Dinos, our guest right now. And Coach, it's a perfect segue. Let's talk about this Union team. They'll enter 2-2. Some question marks on if their starting quarterback, Boone Latham, is going to be available. But if not, they have a very capable backup. One of the things I've learned about Union over the last 10 years or so is that Coach Matt Labrum always has this team prepared to play. I mean, this is a very well-disciplined squad. I've seen Union teams that have a lot of talent that perform adequately. I've seen Union teams that don't have a lot of talent that overachieve. And I think a lot of that is just a testament to the type of program that Coach Labrum has put together. It makes Union a dangerous squad every time out.
Well, they're a classy football program. I mean, they're from the stadium to everything. I mean, they have everything they need. Mm-hmm. They have a weight room that's state-of-the-art. They have a field that's state-of-the-art. Again, belief in the community has a belief in their program. It's hard not to believe in yourself. So,
yeah,
I mean, we have to be ready. The Union's going to come out and get us. I tell our kids all the time, we're always the underdog. Nobody wants to lose to Carbon. And you know what? We're going to change that. We're going to get some wins. And I believe that. I think we're not finished. We're going to get more wins this year. So,
well, this is a team, Coach, that as I watch Union, I see some areas in which Carbon can truly take advantage. One of the things that truly shocked me about Union was the size out of the backfield. And I know size isn't everything, especially when we're talking football, but just looking at the size of this Union squad, one of the things that you guys have in your favor, you do have some size, specifically on that front seven. And even though this is a Union team that put up some gaudy numbers in the first three games of the season, Emory managed to keep their running attack really under control. And I'm sure that's something that you noticed in watching tape.
Oh, yeah. I think right now where our defense is playing well. You know, we did keep them off the field more this week, which yeah. helped. We got surprised a little bit the second half, and we're on our heels, maybe gloating because we were winning. I don't know. That's young kids.
Yeah.
But they came together. They made a great stop in the second half and give us the ball in a good position, and we went down and got the lead back and then never lost it, which is awesome. And, you know, kickoff return, reverse, should have been a touchdown, little penalty up the field. But after that, we put it in the end zone instead of throwing our hands up and quitting because we had a penalty against us. It showed some character to this football team. They wanted to be in the end zone to take the lead, and that was awesome. It was exciting. It was a fun game to be involved in, coaching-wise. Fan-wise, and I've heard lots of good comments. So,
well, one of the things that I've noticed, Coach, is I go back and I watch tape from Carbon, is you guys have extended the offense little by little each week, which is exciting, especially when you have these gauge games. That's what I like to call them, because you can match up Union with other opponents within Region 12. And I know it's the last week of non-region play, and so it's kind of a gauge to see where Carbon is at. There's no question that entering this Union game, the offense is a lot more complex than it was week one against ALA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we try to add some stuff. You know what we found out about our offense is our line is a pretty good pass defense line. They have issues with speed as far as a defensive line having a lot of speed, but I've noticed that also is getting taken care of. I'm having the defensive coordinator stunt quick kids so our line can pick them up, and they're doing a better job at that. Again, they're getting better every week. They're starting to get more confidence. Again, there was one thing I wish I could get from them is a fire off and an explosion 10 yards, 5 yards at least, you know, get us some room to get it rolling and get big Jake to, if we could get him running, it opens up our whole offense even more. But our passing game is something that we didn't really know what we had at first, and it's kind of what we fall back on right now. I mean, we do a 5-32, which is a fake to the fullback. We can boot it. We can drop back. We can run an option pass. It just gives you options. It takes you away from the one-dimensional option. I love the option, but I use the option to set up other stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Well, and any time the offense has success, especially with a first-year quarterback under center at the varsity level, I'm sure it's just the pressure kind of eases a little bit, right? The tension for a quarterback. So I'm assuming this week in practice, you've probably seen a different Keaton Rich as well, knowing that he has now encountered some success under center.
You know what? He's just, like I said, I keep saying this, we're getting better every week.
Yeah.
And that's from especially situations as Keaton punted well. We have people in our staff that have been punters before. They've come to our practice and volunteered to help our punters. A great coaching staff that's willing to step up. Brandon Wilson, he's my right-hand man offensively, kind of comes together, and he's got a good passing mind, you know. He loves to throw the ball. defense helping offense, offense helping defense. And like I said, as a coaching staff, my goal was to create a team coaching-wise, and I think it's transferred to the team player-wise.
Well, Coach, we can end with this. When we take a look at what you'll be working with against Union on the road this Friday, injuries I know have not necessarily plagued the team, but you've had a couple of big injuries pop up. From that standpoint, how does the team look ahead of Friday's game?
Well, we're not going to get Cooper back. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cooper's finished for the year. Nango's working really hard. He's trying to come back with a torn ACL. If he can get it rehabilitated enough to, he's got to find a brace and going to try to finish the year because he wants to have something positive. So those are our two main injuries. Josh Andreessen's back off the concussion. He's tougher than nails, sometimes too much.
Yeah.
I think we're in good shape. I mean, we had a couple kids. Manzo was home ill last week, so we didn't know whether it was the big COVID thing, and it wasn't. It was just a bug. So, again, our kids are being cautious. They're not being selfish, bringing that stuff to practice and stuff. They're saying, Coach, I need to stay away. I'm not feeling good. They lose their spot. They come back. They work for their spot because someone's taken it and done well. So that's the success of a football program, is not knowing that you're the fat cat, that you have to work your way back on. And Josh has worked his way back already. I mean, he showed up one day, and he's leading the pack. He's running great routes, catching anything you throw at him. So, you know, it's awesome. It's fun to see. It's fun to see kids get pushed and fun to see kids step up that are being pushed. So,
well, Coach, I definitely appreciate you again taking out the time to join us in studio. I'm looking forward to Friday night's game, and I know we'll talk again real soon. Best of luck in Roosevelt.
Oh, well, thank you.
Again, that's Coach Phil Howe of the Carbon Dino football team. Do not forget Carbon and Union Friday night on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Live coverage will begin at 6:25. Kickoff will follow at 7. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. We'll talk Major League Baseball, and we'll focus specifically on the Yankees and the Padres. That's coming up next right here on Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down a dream.
We're now in the teens as far as games remaining in this baseball season. Getting down to it. Playoffs will be here before we know it, as we're just about through the second week of September. Joining us right now on the phone to talk all things Major League Baseball, including that 16-team playoff race. Boy, it's a little bit odd to say that when we talk Major League Baseball. We have Bill Lasky over the phone right now. And Bill, as always, it is a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. Everybody's trying to fight to get in a wild card because you might have a 500 team get in there. But the separation from first to second place is pretty prevalent right now. I mean, you got pretty much all your first teams are going to win their divisions. I would presume that's the way it's going to come out. And then the second and third tier teams, a couple of them are already in, a couple of them are still battling. But I still look at the wild card, and I think the wild card could be a 500 team.
Yeah, and my only, I guess, positive, something I can say that would be like, okay, well, don't count this team out yet, is the amount of baseball that's been played against the same teams to limit the amount of travel makes those wild card teams an element of the unknown, Bill. It kind of reeks of going back to when we didn't have interleague play, right? And we had the NL and the AL only in the World Series. It almost feels like that again. There's not going to be a lot of familiarity with these squads in their own league with the teams that they may be going up against in the wild card, and that may be what actually makes this playoff, this opening round of the playoffs, really just unpredictable.
I agree with you, and some of the things that are happening with American League and National League team, you know, you look at the New York Yankees, who were supposed to just blow everybody away, and they're on the cusp of not even making a wild card. They've fallen so fast. And then you look in the National League, and here's the Miami Marlins, who were thought was going to be a bottom-tier team, and they're almost in the wild card position right now. If you started today, they're the eighth seed. So, you know, you're starting to look at the monster, the Yankees, and the puppies of the Marlins, and it's pretty much a switch. Well, that's what's weird about this 60-game schedule. You just don't know what's going to happen here in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and we could start with the Yankees. I mean, you bring it up. This has been a disastrous season, and when Giancarlo Stanton went down, I believe it was August 8th, if memory serves me right, with a hamstring problem, he hasn't resurfaced. Aaron Judge has played one game since, like, mid-August as well. I mean, so injuries have definitely affected this team. But there are players on this roster that I expected to step up, just from a depth perspective, one of them being Gary Sanchez. And he's been non-existent for the Yankees. And I don't want to call out just Gary Sanchez, because we could throw out a list of names and go over everything that was happening as far as the injuries are concerned. But, Bill, this was a team at the beginning of the year where we couldn't find a lot of holes. And it wasn't just because of guys like Stanton and Judge. It was because of guys like Sanchez where we said, boy, this is a deep team, 1 through 25. I mean, this is going to be a very tough squad to beat. Those guys that were set to provide depth have been non-existent.
They sure are, and I tell you what, they came out of the blocks, just like what you're saying with Stanton and Judge, and I'm like, who is even going to contend with this team? And the only ones really on paper were the Dodgers, and you can see the flip-flop. The Dodgers have 31 wins, the only team in American or National that have 30 wins or more. And you look at the Yankees, and you just thought they were stacked. I think you and I talked about earlier in the year, who is going to really try to compete against this team? And you're absolutely right. There's been so many players that have not even had an average year. And it's just sinking. The ship is sinking. And I don't know if they're going to be able to catch up. Tampa Bay has just destroyed them in every category. And look what Tampa Bay did. They have really worked hard to build this team. They have great defense. And their offense is scoring runs. It's been a miraculous turnaround in the AL East in this 60-game season.
Yeah, I want baseball fans to pay attention to bullpens, right? Because especially this year as we gear up for the playoffs, I think it's a very underrated aspect of the game because we're so caught up in statistics, right? And it's not always the flashy thing when you have a guy come in middle relief, maybe he gives you three at-bats at the absolute most. That's not the most flashy thing in the world of analytics today. But Bill, just looking at the Yankees, Adam Ottavino, who we both are very familiar with from his time with the Colorado Rockies, he's been horrible for the Yankees. In 17 games, he's got a 7.8 ERA. Then you can look at Aroldis Chapman, and he's been awful as well. In six games, he's got something like a 7.2 ERA, and he's blown two out of his last three save opportunities. I don't believe we put enough emphasis on the bullpen, but when you look at a struggling team like the Yankees, who have floundered offensively, the bullpen is what stands out to me, and they have not been good.
And especially this time of the year, you know, you're talking two-month season, and most of your starters are now pushing 5-6 innings. But in the beginning of the year, everything was pitch count. Everything was 3 or 4 innings. And the bullpen really had a lot of work done. If you start looking at wins and losses in most of these teams, you have more wins out of the bullpen than starting pitching. And that's a total different change when we start talking about Gerrit Cole leading that team of the Yankees. He was supposed to be unstoppable, and he's had some trouble lately. So I really agree with you. The bullpen has to be looked into and built. And I think now, I think more teams are going to start looking at that rather than going out and trying to get a Gerrit Cole and putting so much money into a starting pitcher. I really believe it's going to be the opposite. I think they're going to look for the middle guy, the bridge guy to get to the closer. And once again, different closers. I don't think you're going to just have that one standout closer.
Again, our guest right now is Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher and now an analyst for the San Francisco Giants. Bill, let's jump to the NL West. I want to talk about the Padres for a moment. Mike Clevinger gets his first win last night, but he wasn't great. I mean, he goes 5 innings, he gives up 4 earned runs. His first go-around with the Padres didn't result in the win, and he gave up 3 earned runs. There's no question that Clevinger was the big prize at the trade deadline this year, and I don't think there's any question that this guy can pitch, and he will pay dividends for the Padres moving forward. But what's the biggest issue that a pitcher can encounter when going from the American League to the National League? What's the biggest change?
Well, you know, he pitched yesterday against Colorado. He pitched against the Angels, so he knows more of the American League. It's just really understanding National League, and he's never been out on the West Coast. So Colorado is a new team. They don't know him. They only know scouting reports. That's the one big issue. And then yesterday he pitched in San Diego for his first time. So it's understanding the ballpark, where balls carry a little bit more, and and understanding his catcher. He's got a new catcher. So these are all things that he's learning, but the San Diego Padres definitely opened up their arms and welcomed him. He's their ace. There's no doubt about it. Paddock has been struggling. Richards is okay. Their starting staff isn't all that knockout. I just don't see it. The young kid, the 21-year-old kid, has really got good stuff. But are you going to rely on him when you get into the playoffs? So I still think the question mark on the Padres is starting staff, not bullpen. And, of course, they're averaging, what, almost three, four, five runs a game. They're, you know, three or four guys have 30 RBIs. So, you know, Hosmer's injury, I think, hurts them a little bit. Moreland really hasn't done much since the trade. But when you're going back to the starting staff, I think Clevinger is something they needed, and they have. But he has not had that knockout punch yet in his first two starts.
Yeah, I know that it's a real basic stat, Bill, but it has to be worrisome for the Padres. I know with what, I think they got 16 games left on the season. I mean, they've scored 253 runs, and that leads the National League. And I think that that's a little bit inflated just due to the amount of grand slams that they have had. That's not sustainable. I know it's exciting. I know people get excited about it. But look, if you're relying on grand slams when you get into the postseason, that's unsustainable, I assure you. But you look at the amount of runs that they have allowed, and that does worry me a little bit because it ranks closer to the middle of the National League. That's where the problem's going to be for the Padres.
I agree with you, and it goes down to starting staff. I just think they can't get behind so much. I agree with you about the grand slams. They're great, but you got to get three guys on to have that happen, and it's happened for them more than usual, more than normal. You don't have teams that hit that many grand slams. I think they had, about seven or eight of them already?
Yeah.
But they've been hitting. That's the thing. When I look at RBIs, just like I said, four or five guys hitting over 30 RBIs. That's pretty damn good when you look in a top-to-bottom lineup. But when you're looking at Tatis Jr., who could be the MVP of the National League at 21 years old, he's the flavor of that team right now.
There's no doubt. You have to have a player that kind of holds your identity. And this is not a shot at Manny Machado, but I'm telling Padre fans, it's a good thing that your team identity is built around Tatis and not Manny Machado. It's a perfect situation for Manny. And in the same sense, it's good for the Padres because Tatis is a guy that seems to be a little bit more contagious in a positive manner than, say, Machado, just based off of what we know in the past.
I agree, and I think they feed off each other, no doubt about it. They're both leaders on that team. They're both best friends, so they're kind of feeding off each other. Cronenwelt, too, don't forget about him. He could be your National League Rookie of the Year. He's having a great year, and he's over 30 years old. There's some holes that are there, but at the same time, look at what Will Myers has done. And I just think Eric Hosmer's finger being broken, that could hurt them, even though there's only 2 weeks left in the season. They play the Dodgers three more times. They play the Giants seven more times. So the Giants have to really overcome some hurdles in their rest of their season. They have the Padres. They have the Colorado Rockies for four, as well as the Oakland A's for three. So their hurdles are going to be real tough here in the next, 18, 17 games.
Always fun to talk Major League Baseball with Bill Lasky, again joining us right now over the phone. Bill, I know it's going to be a fun two and a half weeks as we wrap up the regular season. I look forward to more conversations. But before I let you go, we got to talk about your side ventures as well, because I know you have a lot going on at the moment.
Yeah, right now I'm doing a lot of KNBR stuff on weekends. I'm doing pre- and post-game right now, so been doing a lot of interviews with some great baseball players and just some good baseball talk. You can go on KNBR 680 in San Francisco on Saturdays and Sundays, and you can stream it off your computer. Also, pick me up at Lasky19 on Twitter. And if you're out looking for some good videos, BigLeagueCoaching.pro has about 34 coaching teaching videos. So a lot of stuff going on baseball-wise, but at the same time, I just want your listeners to be safe out there. COVID-19 is still so prevalent around, and we just can't forget about that, as well as out here in California and Oregon, all the fires, and just some prayers out to all the firefighters and all the people that have lost their homes.
Well, Bill, again, you stay safe, because I know right now it looks a little odd, to say the least, in the Bay Area. I appreciate you taking out the time to join us again, and I look forward to next week.
Always good talking to my friend. Be safe, too.
Let's break one more time. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports right after this.
In five,
2.
I'm Joe Wade for McCullough, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the game. Real name, no gimmicks. That's why I ain't got no.
Let's jump over to the NFL, and we'll talk over-unders again today. Bringing Travis Anderson to help do that. Yesterday, we went over the AFC East, AFC West, and the NFC East. We did not get to the NFC West, so that's where we're going to start today. And Travis, really, when you look at the over-under win total set for the Rams, Niners, Cardinals, and Seahawks, I think it's probably one of the more interesting, because I really believe that a lot of experts are miscalculating, A, the San Francisco 49ers, who are in a great, great spot with what they have coming back personnel. And I really think the analysts are really underestimating the Los Angeles Rams, who locked up Jalen Ramsey today. To me, those are the top two teams in the NFC West. Yes, better than the Seattle Seahawks. I think it's the Rams and the Niners at the top of that division.
I'm with you. I'm not high on Seattle. I think that they're undervaluing the Rams, and I think the Niners are right there. So I think it's Rams and Niners battling for the division.
Yeah, let me tell you the guy that I think is the most disrespected in the NFC West. It's Jared Goff. All right,
A lot of love.
I don't know why. Really, I don't. This guy played terrific football 2 years ago, had a little bit of regression last year, but the Rams' offensive line was held together with paper clips and bubblegum. To me, Jared Goff is in the top 12 as far as NFL quarterbacks in this league. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to name 11 quarterbacks that undoubtedly are better than Jared Goff, and I think he proves that this season. Again, people are expecting a Super Bowl hangover, and it's very possible for the 49ers, but most of the time we see a Super Bowl hangover, and that's because teams are bitten by free agency. The Niners were not bitten by free agency, so to me, they are the cream of the crop in the NFC West. We'll start with the 49ers, over, under 10.5.
Over. I think they get to 11, so 11-5, yeah.
11-5 seems fair to me. 12-4 is a possibility, but again, you got to play the Rams twice, the Cardinals twice, the Seahawks twice, and I think the Cardinals are going to be better than what they were last year. It's completely different than, say, Kansas City, who gets to play the Broncos without Von Miller. They get to play the Chargers without Derwin James, right? And they get to play the Raiders. It's completely different to the NFC West. So 11-5 is probably enough to win the division. It'll be close. I'm with you. I'll take the 49ers over. Now, that brings us to the Los Angeles Rams, 8.5.
Over.
Barring any massive injury, to me, this is simple.
That's easy money.
I think it is. I believe the Rams still have the best defensive player in the world in Aaron Donald.
Yes.
I think you can make the case they have the best defensive back in Jalen Ramsey. When you look at the secondary, they bring back John Johnson, who's going to get paid at the end of the season. It may not be by the Rams, but he's going to get paid by someone as he is entering in the final year of his contract. And even though Todd Gurley isn't there, this Ram team...
stable running backs.
And that's fine, because they have capable backs, right? And Brandon Cooks couldn't stay on the field to begin with. So when you look at some of the biggest names that are gone in L.A., I think the Rams are just fine. I think the Rams get to 11-5 as well. It may be one of those deals where the 49ers end up winning by virtue of a tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's the Rams and the Niners. And it's no disrespect to Seattle, because I think the Seahawks are going to be very good again. But the Seahawks, I'm just going back to last year, and I know you can't take everything away from last year. They essentially were two horrible kicking performances away from the Rams and 49ers from not even making the playoffs.
Yeah, watched both those games with you. We were actually at the one. So yeah, if you know that doesn't happen, Seattle doesn't make the playoffs, the Rams are back in. That's why I think Seattle, they take a step back, because the Rams are going to be much better than they were a year ago. They're a better football team, and they're battling San Francisco for the division.
Yeah, so anyone that tells me that Seattle was on the brink of topping the 49ers for the division last year, you can look at that the complete opposite way as well.
Slice it so many ways, yeah.
Exactly. So I believe that Seattle is going to be good, but to me, they are the third best team in this division, and I believe time will tell. Now, I have the Rams over at 8.5. You have them over at 8.5. That brings us to Seattle at 9.5, and that half game for me is the reason why I can't take the over on Seattle, because I think they finish 9-7. They flirt with 10-6. Again, I like what Russell Wilson has on the outside with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. For me, I just don't know if they necessarily pack the old Legion of Boom type look.
They can't stay healthy.
Jamal Adams is a fine addition. Don't get me wrong.
But he's got an ego. He's got he wants to get paid. So you're going to have to worry about that sort of stuff. Jamal Adams, heck of a ball player, but I just don't think it's going to make that much of a difference for that Seattle team. I take the under.
Now, here's the thing with Seattle. They have the best quarterback in this division.
Yes, they do.
Right? So when you have Russell Wilson, you have an opportunity to win. I just don't think the Seahawks are as talented front to back as the Rams or the 49ers when healthy. I really don't. I'm obviously in the minority when I say that because there are a lot of people out there predicting Seattle to win this division. I have them behind the Rams, who I picked to finish second in this division, and the 49ers, who I take to take it. So I'm going to take the under on Seattle.
We're in agreement.
Then we have the Cardinals at 7. That's awfully high for this team. Awfully high.
I'd probably take them at 7. I think they're 7-9.
So you're going to push?
I'm going to push with the Cardinals.
I'm going to take the under. I think they go 6-10, 5-11. Here's the thing. The Cardinals may be a strong playoff contender in any other division. But when you have to play the Rams, Niners, and Seahawks twice,
It takes its toll.
And the Cardinals last year were by far, I mean, they were nowhere in the same realm as the Rams. The Rams had their struggles last year. The Rams embarrassed the Cardinals. Right. And so when I look at it, yes, an upgrade with Hopkins, there's no question. Another year for Kyler Murray. You have Isaiah Simmons. I mean, there's some talent there. Still not sold on Cliff Kingsbury. It's flashy. Everybody loves it. Year two is going to be a little bit different. For me, I'm going to take the Cardinals to the under. You're going to go push.
I'm going to go push.
I'm going to go under. I think they get 6, maybe 5. And so for me, again, it's the 49ers division. Super Bowl hangovers exist. But I don't think it exists to the extent that many believe just based on the personnel that San Francisco has coming back.
Yeah, same thing with Seattle. The only thing that's going to derail San Francisco's season is an injury to Garoppolo or Kittle or somebody on that defensive end of the football.
You know, we didn't even talk about George Kittle. How can you not talk about Kittle when you're talking about the 49ers? Talent-wise, I think the Rams' offensive line is drastically improved. And then I start breaking down coaches in this division. And I think that's what makes this the most interesting division as well. Like him or not, Pete Carroll is a terrific coach.
Sneaky Pete.
That's the name we've given him here on Drive Time Sports, Sneaky Pete. No, this guy's an excellent coach. Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay are the two best young play callers in the NFC West. Or in the NFL, in my mind. They both coach inside the NFC West. To me, the Cardinals are playing so far behind these other three teams that while they may improve, we may not notice it immediately. Right? You're going to have to watch the Cardinals to say that team improved this year. It's because you got 6 games against the Rams, Niners, and Seahawks.
And that's where they can't make any ground up because they're not going to sweep through that. They might only win 1 game in the division.
They may. I mean, it's possible. Now, again, I believe the Rams are really being undervalued when taking a look at the division numbers. But again, when you have to play the Niners, Cardinals, and Seahawks, things can shift. I think it's the Niners division. I take them over 10.5. I think the Rams finish second. I think they can compete with the Niners. I'm definitely taking the over 8.5. Seahawks 9.5. I'm taking under because it'd be very tough for 3 teams to finish with winning records in the division.
Just because they're going to beat up on one another, yeah.
Really, it would be.
So I'm in agreement with you all on that. Besides Arizona, I got the push.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll do more over-unders tomorrow. We'll start with the NFC South. Saints, Falcons, Panthers, and Buccaneers. A division with Drew Brees and Tom Brady. Boy, this is going to be fun. That'll be on Drive Time Sports tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.